the testimonies. I'm thankful to the Lord because He did not just touch us in the meetings, but He also gave us a new vision. Not just that, He enlarged our vision. I treasure that. Before the Young People's Conference in the Stuttgart, we prayed, Lord, take this city. Now we pray, Lord, take this whole earth and do it with us today. The Lord wants to do it. Young people, He wants to gain us and to complete what He has started. Paul, what we read here, he was someone who received vision from God. In chapter 9:15, what we read, the Lord said to Ananias when He sent him, this is for me a chosen vessel to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And then in chapter 26, truly, Paul stands before the King Agrippa, before the nations to testify before the children of Israel. Here, the Lord gave him boldness to also testify before the king. The Lord called Paul for a purpose and He fulfilled it through Paul. In chapter 26, we read in this portion, it is a part of his speech to the king. He described how the Lord appeared to him. It's good to see here what the Lord said to him, and He showed us a little bit from the vision that this man obtained in verse 17 in chapter 26. I will deliver you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, in verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The Lord did not just appear to Paul to save him. The salvation was very fast. He was blind. And then Ananias came to him, he stood up, and he was baptized. And then he was saved. But that was just the start of what God wants with him, to do with him. Here it says that He wants to send him, deliver him from the Jews. But often for us Christians, we stand still at the stage where the Lord has called us out. Now we're in the church life and we can enjoy the church life, but we have to see further. The Lord has a goal. The vision which Paul received, God has given it to him with a clear purpose. Not in a general way to save people, but here it says to open their eyes. What for? To turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. It is so strong here, from the power of Satan to God. This gospel is so much more than you receive forgiveness of sins and you are saved. This gospel is too limited in such a way, but this gospel which Paul received from God is to save people out from the darkness, from the power of Satan to God, and is truly concerning the kingdom of God on this earth. God wants to use these people to save people out of the hands of Satan. It's good here for us. After this time, we are all encouraged to preach the gospel. This verse touched me. How do we preach the gospel? It's good to have this attitude. We want to open the eyes of the people and to come to the Lord. Show me how I can do it. I want to open up the eyes of my classmates. I want to be not just tell them about you. I want to speak a word which is from you, which can open up their eyes, which can save them out from the power of Satan to God. And then this very important verse in verse 19, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul received a vision, and he was so clear that this vision is there for him to carry it out. For him, it's not just yes, he has seen the Lord in the appearance, he had fellowship with the Lord, and that was it. No, for him, it was so clear what God has shown him, this vision is there, so that he can work it out, he can fulfill it. When we go back, praise the Lord for this week, he has given us the vision. But why? What for? So that we can carry it out, we can realize it when we go back. Wherever I am, back home in my locality, I want to implement this vision which you have given to me. And with Paul, he was one of the faithful ones. There were many problems. If you read the chapter, he was faithful to what the Lord has shown him at the beginning. That's why he said in verse 19, he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He was such a brother in despite of all difficult situations, faithful to what the Lord has shown us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, because this person was so faithful, he was then able to say in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight, I finished the race, I have kept the faith. Praise the Lord. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Amen. He was faithful, and that is why he had this assurance. He had fought the fights, and he has finished the race. Do we want to finish the race? Then it's good to say to the Lord, I want to be obedient to the vision you have shown me, strengthened me to live in what you have shown me. This reward is not just for me alone, but also for those who love his appearing. The best way to be faithful is to love his appearing. This is the best protection for us. Every day, if we long for his appearing, it will make us faithful and established. It will give us strength to implement, to realize this vision. In Acts 26, in verse 16, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. The Lord has shown us this week, but it's not good enough. He wants to show us even more. It's good to go back and it's not good to just go back. Yes, the Yuko was, the young people's conference was good, and the Lord has shown me something, but we should tell the Lord, show me every day something new. I want to see the vision clearer every day. I realize that many which we have heard, we have not heard it for the first time. Some of us have a certain vision, but the Lord wants to make it clearer. He wants to enlarge it and strengthen it, make it surer. So it's good to say, oh Lord, every single day from now on, you have to appear to us anew. Then we can be faithful. The whole book of Acts shows us this principle that God needs us people, especially we young people. On one hand, you see in Acts, it is the Lord and the Spirit of power that's doing things. Just like what we have seen, it is this heavenly vehicle in Ezekiel chapter 1, and is moving in the book of Acts. It is the Lord who sits on the throne and who is driving this vehicle. And all these glorious works in Acts, outwardly, when you read it, you may think that it is people who are doing it. But if you look deeper, it is a Spirit that's arranging. It's the Spirit who clothes people with strength. But despite of that, if there were not to be people who are ready to give themselves, then the Lord will not be able to do so much. truly is maybe one of the most important revelations in the book of Acts. It is God who does things, but it's through people, especially through us young people. So I want to read this verse again in 2 Timothy 2:21. Paul, the Lord said to Paul, this is for me a chosen vessel. In Acts, the apostles were vessels for the Spirit. In 2 Timothy 2:21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Shall we read that together again? 1 Timothy 2:21. Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 21. This verse, we have to bring it before the Lord. Lord, it has to be this way. I want to be a vessel for honor. I want to be one who is like in the book of Acts, whom you can use to do the work of God. This vision which the Lord has shown us, it can only be realized if we give ourselves for the Lord, to the Lord as a vessel. This point here, it says about sanctification. If someone cleanses himself from the latter, on one hand, we do not need to wait until we reach a certain level of sanctification. Today we can already say, now use me from now on. But on the other hand, you also need to cleanse yourself daily. In John 15, there's also this verse, every fruit, every branch that brings forth fruit, the Lord will prune it so that you can bring more fruit. Praise you, Lord, for this experience, but please cleanse me more so that I can bear more fruit. I want to be useful for you. For every good work prepared in Acts, there are many good works. Why? Because the vessels were there who are cleansed. The saints there were absolute for the Lord. They did not allow anything to creep into to make them filthy. They were full and they were burning in the Spirit. And this is how and this is what we could also be. We have to tell the Lord, cleanse me, sanctify me. I want to be such a vessel for honor, useful for the Master, for every good work, prepared for every good work. When we do that, then the Lord can prepare us, cleanse us more, so that He can have more vessels for honor in each locality, prepared for every good work. We have to tell the Lord, my vessel, I give it to you, just like Isaiah 6. Lord, here I am, send me. Give yourself to the Lord. Isaiah was not cleansed and clean at the start, but the Lord touched him with the burning coal and cleansed him, and the Lord was able to use him. The Lord just simply needs this willingness where you just tell the Lord, cleanse me, sanctify me. And we mentioned this in several meetings. We need the spirit of faith in order to see this vision. Second Corinthians 13, we have the same faith, spirit of faith. This is so good to see that this vision that we have seen should be implemented through this spirit of faith. The Young People's Conference was glorious, but it is so easy, truly it's easy here to experience, to touch the Spirit, but sometimes in other situations it's hard for you to break through, but it's good to have this consciousness. I'm living not in my feeling, everything it's not every day that I'm happy and full. But I want to learn to live in the spirit of faith. I want to read this verse from Hebrews 11 to give us a taste again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I read that, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is the spirit of faith which we have received. This faith is not just that I'm holding something, hold on to something, but this faith is something that has the power and ability to, which is given from God. It's not our faith, although, yes, we have said, Lord, I believe in you, but it is still not our faith. It is a faith which God has given to us. The Lord said once to his disciples, have the faith of God. It was not their faith. And in the Acts, book of Acts, when we read, like Stephen was full of faith, where did it come from? Came from the Spirit, from God. It's good to see. We have this faith in us. Although you may sometimes think that it's so hard to believe, we still have to see that this faith is in our spirit, and we have the spirit of faith whenever we turn and say amen to the faith. Although I don't feel good, maybe the Lord says, speak to that person, or the Lord may say to you, go now to this direction, go out and preach to other people. I have to confess that sometimes I don't feel that good when it's concerning preaching, but it's good to exercise and say to the Lord, now I turn to my spirit of faith. I do it, whatever you say, in faith. When we do that as what is written here, then there will be this substantiation. What we have believed in will become a substance, will become reality. The valley full of dry bones. When you look at this situation, you may think, oh, what would happen? A valley full of dead bones. But there was someone, Ezekiel, he spoke in faith. He did not just look at what he has seen outwardly, but he believed in the one who has given him this this task. He prophesied something that was not there, and it became reality. In Romans 4, 17, about Abraham, Romans chapter 4, 17. I've made you a father of many nations. What kind of God is that? In the presence of him he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. We should not forget this. We have a God, such a God, who calls things which do not exist as though they did. If we look at our environment, we may think that, oh, there's so many dead bones, so difficult to bring things, the word of God, to people. But don't look at that. Look at God, who can make alive the dead and to cause to exist things that did not. The time after conference go on in the work of the Lord. And Hebrews 11, we can read that and enjoy that when we go back home to see what this faith brings forth. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, through faith subdued kingdoms. Satan has lots of kingdoms under him, but through faith we can bring forth the kingdom of God, and we can subdue the kingdom of Satan. And it worked. Righteousness obtained promises. We have heard so many promises. We can obtain all this one after another through faith. What else? Stop the mouths of lions. This is so good. The enemy is like a roaring lion. It's nothing new when we say that after the young people's conference we'll be tempted. But we should not let the enemy attack us. We can attack the enemy. It's amazing these days, I thought, how the enemy has managed to shut off many Christians, in which they have this concept, I'm just living my life, and if I have problems, I just come to God. If I have problems with the devil, then I just turn to God and get help. But I do not just want to have such a small portion. I want to be a person, not to be attacked by Satan, but to be the one that's fighting against him. In terms of gospel preaching, in terms of the church life, I want to be one. I want to be a person whom the enemy has to flee from me. When the enemy comes with like a roaring lion, then I want to be one who has a faith and stop the mouth of the lions. It's good that we have received such a spirit of faith, every one of us. And it goes on further in verse 34, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became vigilant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That's in verse 34. We can experience all this because we have the spirit of faith, how the enemy has to draw back and how the Lord can expand His kingdom in our locality. I want to emphasize again that we should have this assurance that God is with us, because it is not our work, it is His work. Let's go back to Acts 26. This is what Paul testified in verse 21. For this, once after he was obedient to the heavenly kingdom and he spoke the word, what happened? Acts chapter 26, verse 21. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. This is also our experience. Maybe someone did not try to kill you, but as soon as we are obedient to the vision, the heavenly vision, resistance will come. But this resistance is normal, is in fact good. Yesterday we mentioned that several times in Stuttgart. In the last few weeks, we had many gospel presentations in the universities. It was a good experience, especially when we learned a little bit more how to estimate the amount of resistance on the university. There were already resistance even before we start the work there at the university. But every time when there were resistance, we had such a joy. We prayed that the Lord can go on even more. And one day we went to Hapon and we were giving our gospel tracts, and we read Psalm 83. You can read that. I just read the title from this psalm. Psalm 83, the tirelessness of the prayer of the saints against the enemy. Someone took away the poster from this gospel presentation, and someone also mentioned to us that there are many resistance there in Halpon, in the Eremia. And we sat together with some brothers and we read this psalm from this beginning to the end. We prayed using this psalm, and in the end the Lord gave us such a joy and such assurance. Here in verse 1, say that, do not keep silent, O God, do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God, for behold, your enemies make a turmoil, and those who hate you have lifted their head. After this time, truly the enemy stood up, but we can read this, we can go to the Lord, read it before the Lord, and say to the Lord, look, the enemies are making a tumult. Resist back the enemy. And in the end, in verse 18, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. If there are resistance, then at the end, this will be the result. The Lord will have the victory. The Lord uses every resistance for our faith, for us to bring these words back to faith before Him. The Lord wants to use all the situations so that in the end everyone know that He is the Lord. After we prayed 1 or 2 days thereafter, we heard that one person, especially this person who had been spreading lies, fell over. He fainted. We saw that the Lord heard the prayers. He's still alive, but he is sick. He lost his conscience, and he was wanting to give a speech in the openly, but he fainted. It's good for us to see that it's normal to have resistance, but we have to bring it back to the Lord and let the Lord fight. Don't wonder that you are having resistance. Just turn it around and say, Lord, I praise you. I want to see your glory. I want to see that you are the highest. Above all, if you look at Acts, In every chapter, there's resistance, but at the end of every chapter, there's always more glory. There's growth in the church, expansion of the word, spreading of the word. And if there were to be no resistance, they would not be able to go on so fast. It's normal to have resistance. It's a good sign that the Lord is going on with us. And another verse in Acts chapter 5, once again, to emphasize that it is the work of God. Acts chapter 5, 38 and 39. What do we do with the disciples? They have seen something is happening, there is strength, and they came together and they ponder about it. What can we do? The people were against them. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 38, "And now I say to you, keep away from this man and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is from God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." That was truly wise to say that. There was someone who was against the sisters and brothers, but yet he realized that this work, if it's from man, then it will come to nothing, but if it's from God, then it's dangerous to fight against it. Yeah, lest you even be found to fight against God, you cannot overthrow it. If it's the work of God, no one can stop it. It is just like the vision that was in Ezekiel. These wheels, they are great and fearful, awesome, although it is a heavenly vision, but the wheels are touching the earth. The wheels have to move, and when they move, then everyone who stands before it has a problem. It's not good to stand against this movement of God. In these wheels, what kind of wheels? In the wheels is a spirit. When the Lord, after the conference, wants to move through us, then it is just like the wheels who are moving, starting to roll. We need this assurance that the work that we are doing is of God. And here it says, no one can overthrow it. If you fight against it, you are not fighting against me, but against God. Just like when the disciples were praying in chapter 4, how did they pray? They pray the Lord, the people are gathered together against you and against Christ. They were so conscious that the people were not against them, but against the Lord. It is good that we also have this consciousness. Don't think that, oh, they are making fun of me, they are against me. No, they are not against me, but against God. That's why we should not be afraid. And we can just tell the Lord, hey, look, Lord, they are against you. And through this prayer, which they have brought directly to God, they were able to roll, flatten the resistance with the great wills. We are the work of God. That's why we can be very relaxed and give ourselves to the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, I believe in you. I want to go on and do your work. In Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. God is truly for us. He has brought us all here. He has shown us all these things, and now he wants to complete his work. Paul also said at the end, in Acts 26, the last verse, verse 22, he was almost killed. He was always being confronted by people who tried to kill him, but because he testified that God was always there. This is in Acts 26, verse 21. To this day he stood because God was with him. He did not let himself be scared, frightened off by the resistance. We should not be afraid because God is there for us and he will help us to fulfill the work of God. And we will obtain help from him in many situations. So let us, just as the Lord said to Joseph, be courageous and strong. Courageous and strong. It was about claiming the land for God in Joshua. God wants us to claim the earth as well for Him, wherever we are in our locality. The Lord said to Joseph, be strong and courageous. We can also be such in faith, regardless of how young you are or how long you have been in the church. We can all be strong and courageous because we have the spirit of faith. We have the spirit of power. It is God's work, and God is with us. Let us be courageous and give ourselves to the Lord and to implement, to realize the vision.